All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. First, I want to begin by thanking the mishpachos who sponsored this morning's shir and breakfast. Daf Yomi and breakfast is sponsored by Ira and Miriam Grossman in honor of Ira's 67th birthday. Mazel tov. Ad mea ve'eshim shanim tovos. Shkoyach. Daf is also sponsored by Milton Melanie Gertner and family in creation of the yard site of Milt's mother, Fanny Gertner, Fruma Vas Yitzchok, Michala Shalom. We hope then in the merit of our brachos, of our Talmud Torah, that turn Shamol Havin Aliyah. And to Yisrael Leah Shapiro, in creation of the art site of Yisrael's mother, Devora, Vas Rabbi Yamin, Yechiel Ichel. Is that correct? Yechiel Ichel. Allah Shalom, we hope then in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and the Shamol Havin Aliyah, and the family on the Chama. And he's not here at this moment because he's preparing in the kitchen, but a very special Yashiko. I'll thank him again when he comes in to Saeed for the mamish, the beautiful breakfast. Beautiful breakfast. It's mamishim in Kemach. Oh, I thank you to Saeed. It's been brought in the pan for special effects. And Yashiko to Saeed for always preparing such a beautiful, beautiful Suda for us whenever anything centered around our learning. Yashiko, Saeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench you with bracha and shefa and meva esm shanim tovos. Amen. All right, so let's begin. Let's begin. Today's daf is Tzadik Ches 98. We actually are picking up on Tzadik Ches, but just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So we began with a couple of very interesting cases in the Mishnah, but the case I want to draw your attention to is the following. Also, just a reminder that immediately following the daf today, Rabbi Krakauer from the yeshiva will be giving a shir on Hilchos Ribbis Part 2. It's a continuation of last week, but it's a self-contained shir. So even if you weren't here last week, it was really wonderful and enlightening. To hear, you know, we learned about all the sugyas of Ribbis, but the truth is we didn't really have so much of a chance to go into the halacha l'maisa, the practical ramifications of Ribbis. Rabbi Krakauer does just an exceptional job of kind of taking you from the Gemara all the way through halacha l'maisa. That'll be at 9. That'll be immediately following this year, and we'll go about for about 35 or 40 minutes. So if you have the time this morning, it's kedai even to catch part of it. In any event, so the Mishnah said the following. The Mishnah spoke about the following case. I go ahead and I'll call it procure a cow from Reuven. And the way it was set up is that half a day, we'll just keep it simple. Half a day was as a she'ila, borrowing. Half a day was as a schira, a renting. Now we know again that there are major nafkaminas between she'ila and schira. On a most basic level, the nafkaminas manifest themselves in terms of the level of liability. Shoel has, she'ila, borrowing has a heightened level of liability up and above schira. So here's the issue that comes up. The animal died. The animal died. And what's the issue? The issue at play is, did the animal die at the time of the she'ila, or did the animal die at the time of the schira? So the Mishnah gave different variations of this case, but for our illustrative purposes, is the following. I, the borrower, or the person who is in possession of the cow, say that the cow died during the time of Schira. Excuse me, let's say it differently. The owner of the cow says that it died at the time of She'ela. My response is, I don't know. So the Mishnah paskin that in that type of situation, I, the borrower, am obligated to fully compensate the owner of the cow for the full value of the cow. Why? Because the Mishnah is operating with the principle of Bari Vishema Bari Adiv. That's when you have two claims. One a definitive claim, one only a paskin. Remember, I'm not denying what Reuven is saying. Reuven is saying the cow died in the period of She'ela. I'm not contradicting, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying what? Saying, I don't know. So that's a bari v'shema, and the Mishnah seems to be operating on the principle of bari v'shema, bari adiv. So the Gemara said, okay. Now, the Gemara says, well, we've seen a case like that. What's the case? We need the paradigmatic case of that. Mara libi adecha, v'hala omer eini yodea. I go over to her and say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000? And Reuven says, I don't know. So we'll say, so regarding that case, there is a fundamental machlokas. There is the position of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, who say Chayiv, seemingly because they subscribe to the idea of Bari Vishema Bari Adif, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, who say that you're Potter. Because Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan will say what? Uki mamona becheskas marei. That when there is doubt, when there is any level of ambiguity, leave money in its last known chazoka situation. So the Gibar wanted to suggest that our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman is the one who says, seemingly, that we don't say Bari Vishema Bari Adif. You would say Uki Mamona Becheskas Marei, leave the money where it is. To which the Gemara posited that no. our Mishnah could even reflect the view of Rav Nachman, because there is a situation where even Rav Nachman would agree that in the absence of a definitive claim, you would go ahead and extract money. When does Rav Nachman hold that in the absence of a definitive claim, you extract money? When Rabbi Ozai? When we have a situation of what we call Esek Shavua. So to make a very long story short, what's Esek Shavua? When essentially you have a situation... I'm good. Thank you. When you have a situation where what? You're obligated to swear, but you can't swear. The inability. What do you do in the event that you can't swear? You can't take a shavua. The only thing you can do is what? Is pay. So what's the paradigmatic case of Esek Shavua? So we'll say again. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. You owe me $1,000. What does Reuven say? Reuven says, I owe you $500. I owe you $500. The other $500, I don't know about. They both say, now that sounds a lot like what? Sounds like a modem mixas, except that it's not. Why? Because in the paradigmatic case of modem mixas, what am I saying? I say, I owe you 500, I don't owe you the other 500. So I say, fine. You're denying a claim of 500, we'll make it take a shavua on it. In this case over here, Reuven's saying, I owe you 500, but what? But what? I don't know about the other 500. So both say, can you impose a shavua in a case like that? And the answer is, no. Shavua only comes in a situation where someone is advancing a definitive claim. So if Reuven were to say, I owe you 500 and I don't owe you 500, say fine. Swear to the fact that you're willing to affirm that you don't owe silver the other 500. But in this case over here, Reuven's saying, I don't know about the other 500. We can't impose a shavua in that case. And Rabbi Ozai, in that type of situation, even Rav Nachman would agree that because Reuven can't take a shavua, what do we say? He has to pay. Therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that that's how Rav Nachman would understand the case of the Mishnah, as the case of Esek Shavua. So says the Gemara. So we'll say, so now let's pick up. Sadi Chesamad Aleph. I pretty much just did all of Amud Beis in like 5 minutes. Good. Yesterday's daf, of course. So says the Gemara the following. So the Gemara says, Mashkachas Leiresha. So we'll say fourth line down. So now the Gemara is going to plug in Esek Shavua into our Mishnah. And this goes relatively quickly. Mashkachas Leiresha Bebeis, a Seifa Begimel. So we'll say, now remember, we're trying to do a very specific, this is a specific Avoda over here. What's the specific Avoda? We are trying, see, if we just want to sit back, enjoy our bagel, have a little bit of coffee. So all we need to do is line up the Mishnah like Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. That's all. But we're never willing to take the easy road, right? That's never what we want. We always want struggle as part of the fabric of the human condition. We want to struggle. So we're going to try to figure out, how could I align the Mishnah like Rav Nachman? That's all we're doing over here. Now we've set it up. It only works for Esek Shavua. Now we're going to see, okay, so how does Esek Shavua, how could I set up the kisses and the Mishnayas to be like Esek Shavua? So watch this. Mashkachas L'Reisha. So I'm going to say the way it works is the following. For the Reisha, for the first part of the Mishnah, you'd have to set it up as dealing with two cows. And Seifa, now the Seifa in the Mishnah was the case that was dealing with two cows. You'd have to set it up as dealing with three cows. Now you'll see how this sets up in just a moment. Watch this. Reisha, Bebei. So what does it mean to set up the Reisha with two cows? Da'amarlei. Whatever. So again, remember, in this case, Reuven is lending me the cows. Now remember, Da'amarlei, Beis Paros Masarti Lecha. So Reuven says to me, listen, I gave you two cows. Half of the day, so this is a case of a two-cow, one-day rental. The classic two-cow, one-day, right? The two-cow, one-day rental, where half of the day ultimately is a schirus or a she'ila, and half of the day is a schirus. So watch this. Pal gidyon b'she'ila, pal gidyon b'schirus. Inami, or the other possibility is, because we want to set this up according to all the variation of the cases in the Mishnah. Inami, chad yom b'she'ila, v'chad yom b'schirus. Or also the other possibility is, this was a two-day arrangement. Day one was she'ila, day two schirus. Watch this. Umesa tarvaihu be'idon she'ila. And both of them die at the time of the she'ila. Va'amarli shoel. So we'll say, so now watch this. So the shoel, which is me in this case, the borrower, I say to Reuven, now both cows are dead. I say to Reuven, chada in be'idon she'ila mesa. I say to Reuven, you're right. One of them died during the period of she'ila. V'idach lo yedana I be'idon she'ila mesa. V'i be'idon schiros mesa. And I say, look, they're both dead, that we all know, they're both dead, and I'm agreeing that one of them died during the period of She'ela. The other one, I just don't know. I will say again, it's so interesting, the way that it's almost easier to resolve halacha in cases where people are making definitive claims than when there's ambiguous claims. There's a lot of hashkafa in that also. In general, the greatest difficulty in life is ambiguity. is ambiguity. You know, when a person has a shita, even if it's the wrong shita, sometimes it's easier to engage in course-correcting activity than when there's no shita at all. Ambiguity is the worst thing in life. In any event, so what happens? So both. So remember again. That's why the Gemara says, "Ein simcha kataras asvegos." The greatest simcha in life is resolution of doubt. Ambiguity or doubt, it's very difficult because you end up advancing nowhere. If I have a sheet, even if it's the wrong sheet, at least I'm moving. I can always correct it later on. And anyway, it says over here, both cows died. Reuven, the owner, is saying they both died during the period of Sheila. I say, I agree with you, one of them died during Sheila, and the other one, I just don't know. Lo yadana ibeidin the Sheila Mesa, ibeidin the Sechiras Mesa. So what's the halacha b'osai in such a situation like that? So remember again, that's how, according to Rav Nachman, we're setting up the first case of the Mishnah. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're thinking. Right? You're right. The hash browns are coming up. You're so upset about this. Right? So again, Saeed, that's not a statement about the hash browns. They're excellent. I'm just talking about the anxiety that this provokes. So you say to yourself, how could this be an interpretation? The first case of the Mishnah is only dealing with one cow. So we'll say, understand, but the Gemara is suggesting is, according to Rav Nachman, what it means is like this. It's a two-cow case. What it means is the machlokis between the owner and the borrower is regarding one cow. Because the owner is saying both cows died during the period of She'ela. The borrower is saying, listen, I agree, one of them died during She'ela. The other one, I don't know. So what would you normally say? So under normal circumstances, we would say, okay, resolve it with a shvua. But in this case, you can't take a shvua. Why? Because we'll say, I am saying I don't know. I'm not making a claim. I'm saying I don't know. So in that kind of case, we'll say, Rabbi, the halacha. The halacha is, well, if you don't know, you pay. If you don't know, you pay. The seifa, what's the second case? Because I, the borrower, cannot swear. I can't make a definitive claim. Ultimately, I have to. Which we'll say is fascinating, because what it's saying is that the onus of responsibility, when there is ambiguity, that onus ultimately falls upon the borrower. The Seva, how would we interpret the second part of the Mishnah according to Rav Nachman? Begimel, you'd have to be talking about three different cows. Gamarle, Gimel Paras Nasati Lacha. And he would say, Reuven would say to me, I gave you three cows. So what happens? Two of them were betoras sheila. Two of them were given to you as a sheila, as borrowing, and one of them was schirus. Now what happens? Umesu ani tarti de sheila, and two out of the three cows died. So watch this, Rabosai. Va'amarle shoel in chada de sheila mesa idach. Lo yedana e de sheila mesa u de kaima de schirusi, e de schirus mesa vaha de kaima de sheilahi. So we'll say, so what happens in this case? Two out of the three cows died. Of course, the owner claims, now remember, two of them were sheila cows, one of them was a schirus cow. So the owner Reuven claims, what does he say? Right? Mamish. It's like performance enhancing, you know. Thank you. So it says the Gemara the following. So remember again, the owner is claiming that the two cows that died were the She'ela cows. And what happens? I'm claiming one of them was the She'ela cow. The other one, I don't know if it was the She'ela cow or it was the Schiros cow. So same idea, says the Gemara. Let me just read that again. So the Gemara says, in Chadad the She'ela Mesa. So I agree that yes, the one of the cows that died was the She'ela cow. Idach. The other cow that died, lo yedana e de she'ela mesa. I do not know if it was a she'ela cow that died, ud de kaima de schirusi, and the cow that is still living is the schirus cow. E de schirus mesa, or was it the schirus cow that died, vahad de kaima lam de she'ela hi. And the one that is alive is the she'ela cow, and therefore, umitoch she'en le yachal le shava, mishanim. I will say, but the bottom line reaches the same result, which is what? That because I can't take a shvua, because I'm not making a definitive claim, so the inability to take a shvua and thereby resolve the metzias, by definition, results in a liability for me to go ahead and pay for the cow in doubt. Fine. So we'll say, so all we've successfully done is we've just shown that the Mishnah could even be set up in accordance with the position of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is normally the one who says, Mana li biyadecha v'ala omer. V'alo omer in yodea. Rav Nachman normally say chai. Rav Nachman does not normally say bari b'shema bari adif. He normally says uki mamon v'ches kasmarei. Leave money where it's supposed to be. But even you can set up this case according to Rav Nachman, the Mishnah being a case of where the person who now has possession of the cow is simply saying, I don't know. And whenever you have I don't know, because you can't use a shvua to resolve that situation, the only thing you can do ultimately is have the person who is in possession of the cow, the borrower slash socher, pay for the cow in doubt. Fine. Olorei Bar Chama. But we're going to throw one more wrench into this. And according to Bar Chama, the Amar, Dalid Shomrim Tzrichim Kfira B'Miktas. Rambam has an interesting position. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. When it comes to what we call the Shvuas HaShomer, right, which is the Shvuah that a Shomer has to take, depending on what type of Shomer we're talking about, will dictate the nature of the Shvuah, but essentially that is a Shvuah that a Shomer will take to free himself from liability. So Rami Bar Chama has an interesting take on Shvuas HaShomer, which you do not accept halacha lemaisa, but it's very interesting to ponder. So the Gemara says over here, I'm reading Rashi, L'rami Bar Chama, L'rami, Dharma Dalit Shomrim, B'Shvuas HaAmuras Bohen, Kigon Shomer Chinam, L'Shava Shenignava, B'Shomer Sachar, L'Shava Shenensa. So let's say, for example, a Shomer Chinam would swear that the object was stolen. And remember again, a Shomer Chinam is not chayiv for a Geneva Va'aveda. So if he swears the item was stolen, that oath frees him from responsibility and liability. Similarly, a Shomer Sachar would go ahead and swear that what? Nansa, that there was an extenuating circumstance. And remember, if he swears to that reality, then he is Potter. Then he is Potter. And what happens? V'shol l'shava shemesa mimelocha. And remember again, a shoel, a borrower, has two different ways to free himself, Baal of Imo or Mesa Machmas Malacha. So we'll say, Sroi Bar Chama's position in all of these is that in order for him to go ahead and have an effective show, there has to be Tzrichin Kfira. He has to admit part, and he has to deny part. Amo, Midka Amar Ba'inan Kfira, V'loar Minat Tzrichal Dabba Miktas, Shma Mina Afal Gav D'Shaychu Bohu Shva Shomrim, below Shum Kvira, Lo Mashpia Le Shvua Shomrim, Ad the Kafar Kvira Achrisi. He goes, Lo Hayu Dvarim Me Olam. Or Chazar Tidicha. So let's go back to the Gemara. But the Gemara just wants to show one more thing. Rami Bar Chama has an interesting approach where he says that the only time that there's a Shvua Shomrim is if there is a partial Kvira, but a partial Hodah. You admit something and you deny something. So how would you set up the Mishnah according to Rami Bar Chama? So it says the Gemara, watch this, Mashkachas L'Reisha B'Gimel, V'Seifa B'Dalet. He would have to set up the first part of the Mishnah is dealing with three cows, and the second part of the Mishnah is dealing with four cows. Now watch this. The Amar Le Gimel Paras Nasati L'cha, Ruvain, the owner of the cow, says to me, I gave you three cows, Palge Diyome B'Sheila, Palge Diyome B'Sechirus, and I gave you the three cows half of the day for Sheila, and half of the day for Sechirus. Or about the other possibility is what? I gave it to you for 2 days. One day was Sheila, one day was Schirus. Now all three died, and the owner of the animal says they all died in the period of what? In the period of Sheila. And what happens? I, the person who's now in possession of the animal, say the following. The borrower says, first of all, one of those cows never happened. You never gave me three cows. You gave me two cows. So both say, in this case, what am I doing? Number one, I am denying one cow. Okay, that's number one. The chado in be'idun sheila meis. And it's true. One of the cows died during the period of sheila. That is true. Ve'idach lo yedana. Right? And the other one, I simply don't know. E be'idun sheila meis. Ve'i be'idun schios meis. So both say, see here this? You have like the perfect storm. You have kfira. Because again, the Shoel is denying that you never gave me three cows. You gave me two cows. So first, I'm denying the existence of one of the cows. There is a Hodah. I am admitting that one of the cows died during the period, ultimately again, of Sheila. So there's a Kfira and Hodah. And then what? The third cow, I admit that you lent it to me. And I admit that it died. But I do not know when. I don't know if it died during the period of Sheila or during the period of Zechiros. Therefore, Demitoch She'in Liyachal Yishavim Meshalim. Therefore, we'll say in that kind of case, because I can't pay, because I can't swear, I can't take a Shavuah, therefore, again, by definition, I pay. Seifa B'dalit. So we'll say, Rami Bar Chama will set up the Seifa of the Mishnah is dealing with
Yeah, both say. Now understand, and it's just a fine point. This interpretation does not share the Mishnah. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how could this be an interpretation of the Reisha? The Reisha is only dealing with one cow. So we have to interpret it as the Machlokes is about one cow. Meaning, the case was with three cows, but the Machlokes between the owner and the Shoal is regarding one cow. Because remember, again, one cow I'm denying, one cow I'm admitting, one cow ultimately, again, I'm just not sure. So Seifa, how would he set up the last part of the Mishnah? Bedalit, four cows. Darmalei, Dalit Paras Nasati Lacha. So I say, so what happens? Listen to this. So the owner of the cow says, I gave you four cows. Gimel b'sheila, chad b'schirus. I gave you three of them with sheila, and one of them with schirus. Umesu hanoch gimel b'sheila. The three cows of, and what happens? The three cows of sheila die. So we'll say in this case, three out of the four cows died. So ultimately, again, the owner of the cows is claiming that it was the three borrowed cows that died. And remember, I, the borrower, I say, Chada lo hayu dvar meola. First of all, number one, there were never four cows. There were only three cows. So I'm denying the existence of one of the cows. The chada in the sheila mesa, and I'm admitting the fact that cow number two died during sheila. The idach, but the third cow, though yadana I the sirus mesa with the kaima the sheila, I do not know if it died during the period of sirus, right? Or if it, I should say differently, I don't know if it was the borrowed cow that died, and the excuse me, I don't know if it was the rented cow that died, and ultimately the surviving cow is the sheila cow. Oh, the sheila mesa with the kaima the sirus. Or did the she'ela cow die, and it's the schiros cow that's still alive? And therefore, again, because I cannot take a shvua in this case, therefore there is no choice but ultimately to go ahead and swear. To go ahead and pay. So I'll say, so bottom line. So here we come, we're going to stop the sugyo. So bottom line, we have two different ways of interpreting the Mishnah. Either, again, we could interpret it in accordance with the positions of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, because Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say, Manali biyadecha, vahala omer eni odeya chayiv, that if I go over to someone and I say, you owe me $1,000, and they say, I don't know, that they're chayiv to pay. Why? Because it will say, bari b'shema bari adiv, that is one way to interpret the Mishnah. Or the other possibility now is that even according to Rav Nachman, we could essentially set it up as a case of Asik Shavua. And essentially by setting it up as a case where the other party is not claiming a definitive claim, they're just simply claiming they don't know. Any case where you can't take a Shavua, by definition, you have to pay. I would say, by the way, just you should know, the way we paskin, in that case of Mana Li Biyadecha, Vahala Omer Eini Odea, that if I go over to someone and say, you owe me $1,000, and they say, I don't know, we paskin like Rav Nachman, that the party whom I'm claiming against is Potter, right? There is no obligation to pay. And again, take it even a step further, because we paskin ukima money becheskas mare. We assume in general in halacha, he who has the money is the rightful owner of the money. If you want to change that status quo, then what? The burden of proof is upon the extractor, which is another way of saying what? Another way of saying, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav harayo. That if you want to go ahead, anytime you want to extract money from the status quo, that's fine, you can, but the burden of proof is upon you. Fine. Amabezer will say two dots. Says the Gemara, Zelmer Shula Vezemer Schura, Yeshav Asocher Sheschura Mesa. So we'll say, so watch this. So remember, the next case of the Mishnah was that ultimately, again, the owner of the animal says, So up until now we've been dealing with a case of where the owner makes a definitive claim and the borrower makes a non-definitive claim. The borrower says, I don't know. So now in the second part of the Mishnah, we said the owner of the cow says, I'm telling you, the cow, whatever variation, either the cow died in the period of day that it was She'ela, the cow died on the She'ela day, or it was the She'ela cow that died. In any event, the owner of the animal is making a definitive claim that the animal died in a state of She'ela, and therefore you, borrower, are chayiv to me. I, the borrower, say that what? I say no, zeschura. I say no, it wasn't the barred animal that died, but rather again, it was the rented animal that died. So what did the Mishnah paskin? Yeshava ha-socher she'schura mesa. So what I said, the socher, the borrower, I have to take a shavua to swear, I swear that it was a rented animal or an animal that died in the period of rental that passed away and not anything to do with she'ela. So that's the Gemara v'amai. Ma shetanu lo hodolo. So what I say, here's the interesting part about this case. In general, in general, the way Shavua works is the following. If I go ahead, in order to generate the Shavua, so the claim and the denial have to be about the same thing. If the claim and the denial are about two different things, then there is no obligation for Shavua. The Gemara points out over here, Va'amai, why is there an obligation for Shavua in this case? Mashetano, that which was claimed, lo hodolo, was not admitted to. Now the Gra erases that next phrase, Umashahoda lo lo tano, because in this case, right, this Gra takes that out. We'll say, the Gemara has a very simple question. In this case, Reuven's claiming the She'ela animal died. And I'm claiming Schora animal died. So we'll say, we're not talking the same language. Right? We're not, meaning, if I were to go ahead and say, there was no Schora, you never lent me an animal, okay, then we're talking the same language. But we're talking about two different things over here. You coming against me with a claim of She'ela, and I am retarding, admitting a claim of Schira. So says the Gemara, how could there be a Shavua in that type of situation when I am not admitting anything that you claimed against me, and your claim has nothing to do with my mission? Now, you could say, well, it does, because they're arguing about the same animal. But I will say, in terms of the nature of the financial claim, the claim is dramatically different if you're claiming a Schira versus if you're claiming a She'ela. Amr Ula, you're right. What's the case over here? Aide Gilgul. The boss said, this is amazing. The way this Shavua comes up is an indirect process called Gilgul Shavua. We know, we're familiar with the concept of Gilgul Shavua. Gilgul Shavua means the following. That Aloch Lamaisa, there are certain circumstances where you can't get the claimant to take a Shavua. But if you find an opportunity for the claimant to take a Shavua, once someone is already taking a Shavua about matter A, Gilgul says, once you're already swearing, we could kind of pile on there a whole bunch of other stuff that by itself would not individually or independently engender an obligation for a Shavua. So watch this. What's this case? This is amazing. So Damar later, we'll say, so remember what's happening over here. Reuven says, right, we both agree on one thing. What do we both agree on? Reuven and I, what do we agree on? Animal's dead. Right, we agree, now we agree on that. So we both, right, but remember what we disagree on is extent of liability. Reuven saying the animal died during a period of She'ela. I'm claiming it died during a period of Slirus. They're both saying that disagreement by itself would not engender a chiyah for Shavua. Why not? Because what I'm admitting to is not what Reuven's claiming against me. So what do we do? Watch this. Damar Lei, Reuven says to me, Ishtabali Ezo Mihas de Kedarka Mesa. So Reuven says to me, listen, Silber, at least swear that the animal died Kedarka. Which is another way of saying, swear to me that you are not poshea. Right? Swear to me that you are not negligent. Swear to me that the animal died kidarka, in a normal fashion. Oh, now fine, I'm willing to take that oath. Now, umigo de mishtaba de kidarka mesa, mishtaba nami de schora mesa. So both say, so Gilgul says, well, once I'm already swearing, once I, the Shaw, the bar, I'm already swearing, that the animal died kidarka, we could pile on another shvuah that says there that what? Now also swear that what? That the animal died in a period of Sirus and not in a period of Sheila. So we'll say that's called Gilgul Shvuah. Ze Omer, Eni Odev Ze Omer. So in the next, last case in the Mishnah, we'll say, and that is Halacha L'maisa. So any situation where you cannot go ahead and create an independent obligation for Shvuah, once we get the parties to take a Shvuah, or the party, in this case the bar, to take a Shvuah, we could pile on other claims onto that. So says the Gemara, last case the Mishnah was Ze Omer Eni Odea V'Ze Omer Eni Odea. So it says the last case, remember, was what? Let's say again, okay, we both know the animal died. But the owner, Reuven, says, I don't know when it died. And I, the borrower, also say, I don't know when it died. Meaning we're both agreeing, we don't know, did it die during Schirus? Did it die during Sheila? Neither of us are able to definitively make that claim. So the Gemara says, Hamani. So, well, I'm sorry, so what did the Mishnah Paskin? What did the Mishnah Paskin? Yachloku. We split it, meaning we split the value of the animal. Says the Gemara, Hamani, whose opinion is this? Sumchas he da'amar, mamon hamutl b'safek cholkin. Both said this is Sumchas' opinion, because Sumchas holds that any time you have money shrouded in doubt, mamon hamutl b'safek, meaning money that I don't know what the halacha is, cholkin. We just split it, we split it. Sabay rav abba bar mamal, sha'ala b'baylim, sachra shol b'baylim mam. So we'll say, watch this. So now the Gemara is going to raise another interesting case. Shalabah, so we'll listen to this. I went ahead and I borrowed a cow from Reuven. Now, we'll say, now in this case, Shalabah means at the time of the She'ela, Reuven was in my employ. I employed Reuven, right? He was working for me. Remember, again, we'll go back to yesterday's daf. He was bringing me a cup of water, right? Like we saw yesterday's daf. So he was in my employ at the time of the Sheol. I'm both saying, now what's the chap? Remember, if Reuven is in my employ at the time of the Sheol, then what? Then what? Baal of Imo, which means if something happens to the animal, I, the Sheol, am potter. Now watch this. Sheol bebailim. So I borrowed it while Reuven, the owner, was in my employ. Sachra Sheol bebailim. Now what happened? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shala bebailim. So the borrowing took place where the owner Reuven was in my employ. The kodim shech zero chazar v'sachra minei. I'll say now, right as the term of the sheila is coming to an end, I'm about to return the animal to Reuven. What happens? Chazar v'sachra minei. So I come along, and what happens? I go ahead and I renew the agreement with Reuven, but this time it's not a sheila. This time it's what? It's a schirus, right? It's a rental. Now at the time when I entered into the phase two of the situation, this schirus, so Reuven was no longer in my employ. Now what happens? And then the animal subsequently was lost or was stolen during the days of the rental. Mahu, what's going to be the halacha? So set back to the Gemara. So we'll say, so mahu, what's going to be the halacha? Mi aminon. Sheila l'chuda kaima, uschirus l'chuda kaima. So we both say, do we look at the sheila and the schirus as two independent agreements, two independent arrangements? And therefore, what does that mean? If they're independent, then what? Then that means that when something happens to the animal during the period of the schirus, then what? Then what? I'm going to be chayiv. Why? Because if the schirus is not an extension of the sheila, then the ptur of Baal of Imo, which was in effect during the Sheila, does not trickle down to the Sirus. Therefore, when something happens during the Sirus, I am a socher and I will be fully liable. Or maybe we should view the Sirus as an extension of what? As an extension of the Sheila. So this is a riveting Sheila. Right? So you hear this? Again, here's what we know. When the Sheila took place, what happened? What did I have going for me? What did I have going for me? Baal of Imo. The owner was in my employ, which means I have a built-in ptur. I'm about to give back the animal because the shayla is coming to an end. I renew my use of the animal, but through a different halachic mechanism. This time, not through a shayla, but rather through a schirus. Then what happens? The animal is stolen or is lost during the schirus. So the shayla is, am I chayev? What does that depend on Rabbi Osai? Do we say that the schirus is an extension of the shayla or not? So on one end we could say, no, the schirus is its own independent agreement. The sheila has come to an end. The schirus is something new. And therefore, again, when something happens to the animal during the schirus, there is no ptur of baal of imo, because the schirus is its own independent idea. Or maybe not. Maybe the schirus is an extension, ultimately, of the sheila. Now, both say, now, how could schirus be an extension of the sheila? The mechayiv, Bigneva va'aveda. Both say, take a look at Rashi. It's actually right across, like a bonus, right across in Rashi. Oh, Dilma. Skiros b'sheila meshach sheicha. Kolchi yubisrocher digneva va'aveda yeshnan b'shoa. See, Rabbi saying, one could make the argument that what? That a skiros is almost like a derivative of sheila. Remember again, sheila is the most heightened level of liability. So schirus has many elements of she'ila. So for example, when I'm a shoel, I'm chayi for geneva va'aveda. Guess what? When I'm a socher, I'm chayi for geneva va'aveda. So since there are elements of the she'ila that can be found in the schirus, maybe the schirus is an extension of the she'ila, and therefore again, the ptur of Baal of Imo that existed by the schirus should also exist by the she'ila. Let me just finish reading that Rashi. O Dilma schirus b'she'ila meishashai, kochi yuvisocha digneva aveidi yeshlam shoel, v'lo hosif klum, umachmas meshicha rishona ba'ulo, v'ahi b'baila ha'aviyopat. This is amazing. So maybe if we view the schirus as an extension of the original she'ila, therefore, just as the ptur of the Baal of Imo was with the original Sheila, so too what? That ptur should trickle down into the Schirus as well. Incredible Sheila. So watch this. Imtin Slomer Schira B'Sheila Meshach Sheichi. So okay, so let's go with the approach. Let's assume for a moment that we could say that in this case where there was first a Sheila and then a Schirus, that the Schirus will be an extension of the Sheila. Then what will we say in the following? Then I'm sorry, Imtin Slomer Schira B'Sheila Meshach Sheichi, Sochra B'Bailim, Sha'ala shlobe by lamal. We'll say, what happens if I reverse the case? What happens if I was, the first step was a schirus, but when I was socher, when I rented the animal, the owner was in my employ. So also remember, we've seen the concept that the p'tur of ba'al of imo does not just apply by sheila, could also apply by schirus. So what happens now, at first there was a schirus, and when there was a schirus, the owner was in my employ. And then the schirus is coming to an end, I choose to renew the arrangement, but not through schirus, instead through what? Instead through sheila. But at the time of the she'ila, the bailim, the owner, were no longer in my employ. Mahu. So we'll say, the question is what? Does the original p'tur of ba'al avimo that existed during the first schirus now trickle down to the she'ila or not? So mahu. She'ila b'schirus v'ad elo sheicha. So we'll say, so on one hand, you can't really say that what? You can't say that schirus is an, that she'ila is an extension of schirus, because I will say that extension concept only applies when you're going from something that is more chamer to less chamer. But you can't say that she'ila, which is the most high level of liability, is an extension of schirus. So the Gemara says, "Mao she'ila b'schirus v'adelo sheicha o dilma," or perhaps we could say, "Kevan d'sheicha b'miktos." Rabbi say, maybe we can say that no, since there is an element of schiros in she'ila. In other words, like we said before, just like a socher is chayiv b'gneiva va'aveda. So maybe we can say that the she'ila is an extension of the original schiros as well. Well, imtin salam lo arminon. So kevan d'sheicha b'mitzas kiman d'sheicha b'kula. So if you go with the approach that Rabbi say, we will not view she'ila as an extension of the schiros, even though she'ila and schiros do contain certain common factors. So the Gemara says the following: she'ila bebailim, v'sachar shelo bebailim. What about the following case? Let's say I borrowed the animal from Reuven, and Reuven was in my employ. And then what happens? The period of the she'ila is coming to an end, and then I choose to go ahead and renew, but not through she'ila. Rather, how? Through schiros. V'sachar shelo bebailim. I go ahead and what? I go ahead and now I do the schiros, but I do the schiros ultimately what? Without the owner in my employ. V'chazar v'shala. And then Rabbi said, when the schiros is coming to an end, I then go ahead and what? Renew now a third time, but this time with what? This time with she'ela. So Rabbi said, so what do we say? Mahu. Hadir asya she'ela duchte. So do we say that, okay, even if you want to say that the second schiros, that the schiros is not an extension of the she'ela, but maybe what? At least the second she'ela should be an extension of the first she'ela. O dilma, afsike la schiros beini ubeini. Or do we say no, that the schiros, Rabbi Osai, does what? The schiros interrupts between the two periods of she'ela. So the Gemara says, sachra, what about the last case? Sachra bebailim mishala. So what happens if I started off with a schiros? And in that period of schiros, the owner was in my employ. And then what happens? The schiros comes to an end. I decide to go ahead now engage in a she'ela, the chazer v'sachra, and then I do another period of schiros. So what's the halacha in that case? Mi arminan asile schiros l'dukta. Do we see Rabbi say that the second period of schiros essentially combines with the first period of schiros? Oh, dilma afsiki la she'ela beni o beni. Or Rabbi say, do we say that what? Do we say that the intervening period of she'ela interrupts between the two schiros? To which the Gemara says, Teiku. So we'll say, essentially, interestingly enough, what the Gemara really is struggling over here is when you have two concurrent periods of, we'll call it borrowing, but I'm using that term not as a show, I'm using it when you have two concurrent periods of usage, but there are two different types of usage, do they flow into one another or not? Now, you'll say to yourself, under normal circumstances, who cares? So you're right, under normal circumstances, I don't care. But in a situation where what? In a situation where Lemaisa, again, one of those periods begins with Baal of Imo, the Shaila then becomes, does that p'tur of Baal of Imo bleed into the next period or not? To which the Gemara says, Teiku, we're not sure. And Rabbosai, again, in the absence, ultimately, again, of a definitive Psak Halacha, we will have to say what? We'll have to be Machmir. And Rabbosai, let's just do the Mishnah, and then we'll stop for today. Says the Mishnah, Hashol, Rabbosai, here's, this is actually amazing. We actually learned this before. In the Gemara, Hashoel asapara v'shelcho lo biad beno biad avdo biad shlucho biad. Okay, so what happens? I borrow a cow from Reuven, and what does Reuven do? Reuven sends me the cow with his son, or with his servant, or with his agent. Okay, o biad beno biad avdo biad shlucho shoshoel, or he sends it in the hand of my son my servant or my agent, umesa, and the animal dies. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Potter. I, the shoel, am not chayv. Rabbi, and the common denominator in all of these cases is, I did not ask the mashiel to do this. I did not ask Reuven to do this. Reuven did this of his own volition. So therefore, again, what the Mishnah is teaching me is when the animal is being transported based on the desires of the owner, I, the borrower, do not assume responsibility for that animal until when? Until when? Until it reaches my possession.
Even when it's the borrower's?
I'm sorry. Oh, good. Here's the good news, Seth. There's more Gemara to come. Good. We're going to see. Seth is saying good, meaning we're going to define, we have to define the scope of this. Next, Amar lo ha-shoel. Shulcha li biad bini, biad avdi, biad shluchi. O biad bincha, o biad avdicha, biad shluchacha. Oh, so I'll say, but if I, the borrower, say to the owner, send it to me, send me the animal, and send it with your son, your servant, your agent, or send it in the hands of my son, my servant, my agent, oh, sha'amar lo ha-marsha, meaning, mashal chalacha, biad bini, biad avdi, biad shlichu, biad bincha, biad avdicha, biad shlucha, or if the owner says, Silber, I'm sending you the animal with my servant, with my son, my servant, my agent, or in the hands of your son, your servant, your agent, va'amar le ha-shoel, and I, the borrower, say, shlach, I give him the command, send it, v'shilcha, and he sends it, umeis, and the animal dies on the way, chayv. Those are both say. So case number one is, I have nothing to do, I did not ask anyone to send me the animal. The animal dies on the way, I take no responsibility until the animal shows up in my home. Case number two, where I, the borrower, give the command for transport, I assume responsibility immediately, even during the transport. And even if something happens, therefore, during the way, I am chayiv, I'm going to be chayiv, v'chein, b'sha shemachzira. And I've also said, the same is true with what? These same halachos don't just apply at the time when the animal is first being lent, but these same halachos will apply at the time when the animal is being returned. And Meretz Hashem will continue tomorrow.